Hi, and welcome to Traditional Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Carl Levick. In today's episode, we're talking about something incredibly important. What are the best practices for working with Indigenous communities and their healers? We're going to be covering what science has to say about keeping communities healthy and happy. And we're also going to go over how this wisdom can also be found in the Amazonian healing tradition and also in the High Andean Kiro healing tradition. So they've known about this for a very, very long time. So we're going to build a good foundation so that we can continue talking about the best practices for working with Indigenous communities and their healers in today's episode. If this is the first time that you're tuning into this podcast, let me tell you a little bit about what you can expect to hear. In this podcast, we talk all things Amazonian and High Andean Kiro healing of Peru. For over 9 years, I've been volunteering for various healers, and for more than half of that time, I have spent it with Amazonian healers and Kiro healers of Peru. This podcast is really about me distilling all that experience, all that knowledge, so that you can feel closer to these traditions. And as always, if you're looking for authentic traditional Indigenous healing, look no further. Check out traditionalmedicinemiami.com. We work on a very special project with the Kiro community to connect their world-renowned healers with the people who need them. So whether you're looking to alleviate anxiety, depression, addiction urges, or maybe you're just looking to improve and grow, whether it's in your career or personal life, check out some of our plans. And if there's anything we can do, go ahead and reach out to us. We'll be happy to connect you. All right, so let's get into today's episode on best practices for working with Indigenous communities or Indigenous healers in a way that is going to be beneficial for everyone. Now, for this episode, I would also recommend that you supplement it with episode 16, part one of What Mental Health Experts Need to Know Before Offering Plant Medicine Integration Services and Preparation Support for Clients Seeking Traditional Indigenous Medicines. Now, I want you to check out this episode because I've gone to great lengths to outline what epidemiologists have found out about humans and human populations. Epidemiologists are health experts, kind of like doctors, but they study large populations. So instead of trying to figure out what's wrong with one person, like a doctor would, they try to figure out what is wrong with entire populations, what's causing them to be sick, or what's causing them to feel good and display very positive social and health outcomes. And what these epidemiologists have found out is that large income inequality is actually causing poor social and health outcomes. So the more income inequality that a community had or was experiencing, the worse off that they were going to do on social and health outcomes. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with income inequality, I'll explain to you what that is. It's really just the gap between rich and poor in a community. So that economic difference between those two groups of people is what we're talking about when we talk about income inequality. And basically what the experts are saying is that the more gap there is, the bigger difference there is between those two groups, the worse off that we do on social and health outcomes. So what are these social and health outcomes, you may be wondering? Well, life expectancy, math and literacy scores, infant mortalities, homicide rates, imprisonment rates, teenage pregnancies, trust levels, obesity rates went up, mental health rates declined. So there was more alcohol and drug addictions, suicide rates increased, depression increased, anxiety increased, and so on and so forth. Even social mobility declined, right? We experience people unable to get out of, for example, poverty. They were unable to move up that ladder to a place where they would want to be because social mobility declined in communities with large levels of income inequality. So again, the larger the gap between rich and poor in that community, the worst off people did. And not just that person that was poor, but also those that were rich. It is really, really bad for us as humans. And anthropologists have pretty much told us why. As a species, we have been developing physiologically, psychologically, emotionally, physically in a very different social environment for more than 90% of the time that we have been evolving as a species. And the social environment that I'm talking about is called the hunter-gatherer bands or the hunter-gatherer societies. In that particular social environment, we had things like meat sharing, situational leadership, counter-dominance responses. So for meat sharing, it really just meant if you had a mouth, you were going to get fed. Everyone was going to get fed, whether or not you were a part of that hunt or not. So it was about taking care of everyone in your community, not just the people that were able to hunt. We also had something called situational leadership. That meant that there were no chiefs, there were no kings, there were no CEOs or anybody on top. There was a lot of equality. There was democracy, right? The way that we made decisions was together as a group. We didn't have someone always making decisions for the entire group, unchallenged. In fact, every situation was going to pretty much demand for a certain kind of leader. And it always kind of changed depending on the situation. So if we were looking for berries, we would try to select someone that was really, really good at looking for berries. And then we would move on. And if we needed to figure out how to cross a river, we would figure out who knew rivers very well and see if they could figure out a way for us to cross. This is how we moved as a human species. And we also had things like counter-dominance responses. That meant that if for some reason someone felt, bumped their head and thought, oh, I am really mighty and I'm super important and I need to sit up on top of a pile of blackberries and everyone else should just have, you know, three or two or whatever, they would pretty much remove that person or not feed them, or they would try different kinds of tactics to try to reason with this person. If that person was not reasonable, they would pretty much vanish them. They would be kicked out of that social group. And sometimes in that social environment, it could possibly get even worse than that, worse than just banishing someone. It really just depended how far that group had to go in order to distance themselves from this person if that person did not really see the light. So we were, again, in a very different social environment than the one that we have today. There were no hierarchical structures in that environment. And so when we have hierarchical structures in today's world, where, for example, you have a group of people that have power over another in terms of, you know, people that own certain businesses, and then the workers below that have no say in the place that they're working in. These kinds of structures are really, really damaging to our health, and they are producing large amounts of inequality, income inequality, which is affecting everybody's health. So again, we were in this social environment, the social environment of the hunter-gatherer societies for almost like the entire time we have been developing. And this new social environment that we're in really came about by advances in agriculture and domestication of animals. Now, those advances in agriculture and domestication of animals only happened maybe about 10,000 years ago. Okay, that's nothing compared to the hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years that we have spent in the other social environment, the social environment that is the hunter-gatherer band. So again, that's not enough time for us to evolve, to adapt to this very different, very offensive social environment that we're in. So what happens? We start to experience negative social and health outcomes. And our health starts to deteriorate and our societies begin to deteriorate as well. This current social environment riddled with hierarchical structures is really the worst for us as humans. And it is because it couldn't be any more different from the environment that we were really accustomed to and the environment that really produced optimal health for us as humans. If you want to hear more about this research that was put together, this peer-reviewed research, check out Richard Wilkinson and Kate Pickett. These are the epidemiologists that put together this peer-reviewed research. That means that people in the field of epidemiology had looked at this and said, yep, this is good stuff. So they put the research together in two different books, which is really cool because it's accessible to all of us. The first book is called The Spirit Level, Why Equality is Better for Everyone. And also they have a newer book called The Inner Level, How More Equal Societies Reduce Stress, Restore Sanity, and Improve Everyone's Well-Being. And it's not just one branch of science that has been able to really come to these conclusions. It's not just epidemiologists who study large populations. It's also anthropologists who have been studying our history. It's also psychologists who understand the dynamics which facilitate abuse. Anytime you have one group of people that have power over another group of people, you're probably going to see abuse. This is the kind of dynamic that facilitates abuse. You do not want these kinds of dynamics because, again, it's going to facilitate abuse. And we have seen it with belief systems like racism and sexism. And we also see it in the abuse that occurs when there are governments that have hierarchical systems, right? Because there's no way for them to stay in check, right? It's really, really detrimental. It's also detrimental in our economic, systems, right? In businesses, we see that this facilitates abuse. And again, it just really, any place you look, any way that humans have put together hierarchical structures, it has really backfired. This is really not good for us. But again, it's not just about hierarchical, structures. It's also about how inequality affects us poorly. And it's just like all of these things that really go back to how we have been evolving for majority of the time that we have been a species. So we talked about the science behind creating healthier communities and how income inequality affects us negatively and how hierarchical structures of power lend themselves to abuse. And, you know, we really went over why these things affect us so negatively. It was because the environment that we really evolved in most of the time was very different from the one that we are in today. We had meat sharing. If you had a mouth, you got fed. We had situational leadership. We were deciding on what to do democratically every step of the way. We were valuing each other and the skills that everybody could bring to the table. We didn't have just one chief or one person always in charge. And we had counter-dominance responses. So, you know, if someone got out of line, everybody came together and, tried to have that person see the light. And we had different techniques for doing that. Now, it's not only disciplines found in the conscious world. So like science and anthropology and epidemiology and psychology, it's not just these disciplines that have really seen these facts about who we are as a human species. It's also those disciplines that have roots in the unconscious world or the energetic and spiritual side of life, like the Amazonian healing tradition and the High Andean Kiro healing tradition that have seen this about humans. And they have built disciplines that are in harmony with this reality, with these facts about who we are as a human species. So for example, in the Kiro tradition, everybody is sharing coca leaves. Everyone has their own coca leaves to give. And if that person doesn't have coca to give, people will ensure that they have coca because it's not just about receiving. It's also about sharing. There's something very special about being able to share and receive. So everybody is giving each other coca. Everybody is sharing wine. Everybody is sharing beer. Everybody is in a circle. Nobody is on a throne. People aren't bowing to one particular person. And this is what this tradition is about, right? If you go to the High Andean Kiro tradition today, and there is situational leadership. So if something has to be done, they'll likely consult with the coca and consult with Mother Earth and the Sacred Mountains to see if someone can do something or who might be a good fit for, you know, doing whatever it is, whether it's an initiation, whether it's a healing session. They are in constant communication with Mother Earth and the Sacred Mountains, and they are receiving guidance. And this is something that they've all agreed on. And it's something that everyone can do. Everyone can do their own coca readings. It isn't something that only one person can do. There's no gurus here. There's no nothing like this. Everybody has the same power. And everyone understands that everyone is a medicine. Everybody has their own medicine. Everyone has their own power and everybody can see it. And everyone in that group has everything that they need to blossom into their power so that everyone can have a part in what is going on in the group. For the Amazonian tradition, everybody is also in a circle. They are drinking the same ayahuasca. There isn't some VIP ayahuasca for one group of people and then like regular ayahuasca. No, no. Everybody's drinking the same one. It was made for everybody, right? And I remember the first time that I drank ayahuasca, I brought a cup made out of olive wood. And I was like, wow, this is pretty. I really want to drink from it for my first ayahuasca experience. And I met with the incredible healer, Benigno, before my first ceremony. And there were many other healers there with him. And I had asked Benigno, hey, can I drink from this cup in ceremony? And Benigno's like, yeah, of course. If everyone else can drink from the same cup. And I was like, wow. And that was really how everything began for me. That was lesson number one about the Amazonian tradition, right? And when you're in ceremony, you're all working with the same energy. Everybody is kind of bouncing off each other, depending on who the healer is, but the medicine and the healers that I worked with, for the first few times that I was drinking, and actually a considerable amount of times when I was drinking with them, and the energy moved throughout the entire ceremony from person to person. Everybody was energetically together in that ceremony, and it's part of the protection. Healers don't usually want to do things themselves, by themselves. They always want as many people as possible there. For initiation with the High Andean Kiro healers, they want everyone to be there. Why? Because everybody has a power. Everybody contributes just by being there, just by supporting. And it's really, really important for them. So on an energetic level, it's very clear the value of equality for these traditions. And it's really a hallmark of these traditions. And it's important to understand that when you want to work or when you want to be in these communities, this is really what it's about. This is what that spiritual healing tradition, both of these are really all about. So that is the end of today's episode. We really laid down the foundation that you need to understand the next few episodes. Those are the two major things you need to understand. Number one, what it looks like to create things that are going to produce optimal health for communities. And also, you need to understand the values of these traditions so that if you have to create anything, you're going to create something that is in harmony and represents those traditions. Because if you don't, there are going to be problems, not only for them, but for you and for everyone else. You have to remember, these are incredibly priceless communities, priceless medicines, priceless people. They hold a lot of very powerful medicine, and we have to preserve them. We have to protect them. They are not only elders to their area, they are elders to the entire planet. They are everyone's elders. They're not just one person's elders or one group of people's elders. They are everybody's elders. So we have to work to protect them and their communities and also the traditions. So that is it for today. If you're on Instagram, go ahead and say hi. We are Traditional Medicine Miami. We'd love to see what you're up to. Send us a message, follow us, we'll follow you back. And I hope that you're having a great day or night wherever you may be, and then we get to hang out again soon.